Welcome to Heartspeak Podcast, episode 126, Embodying the Elements.
Welcome to the Heartspeak Podcast, where valuable insights are shared that bypass the mind and resonate with the heart. Listen, open your heart, become inspired, find the joy and fulfillment that awaits when you follow your heart. And now, here's your host, Dr. Christine Page.
Well, hello there. How are you doing? What's your week been like? Are you like us, recovering from the big freeze? And fortunately, we didn't have the floods, but now seeing the signs of spring around the corner, I can't believe that we're nearly into March. This year is going so fast. And I think as the days are getting longer here in the Northern Hemisphere, we're starting to feel that spring, that newness, maybe around you and where we're living, the lockdowns are easing. As a sign of things opening out. And so I wanted to work particularly today with the elements. What do I mean? I'm talking about earth, air, fire, and water, and we talked about these before, but this time I'm wanting to explain them at a deeper level, a level of creation. Everything that we do involves the earth, air, fire, water. And when they get out of balance, then we see things like anxiety, that involves air and fire and water that feels there's no structure. We can feel depressed when we feel that there's no way out, there's not enough flow, there's not enough water. So we're going to be looking at these elements, and I hope that even though we looked at them many months ago, this time at the end of this particular podcast is a small meditation to look at where are those elements inside you and how do they come together. So are we ready to go? We are going to work with the elements and bring ourselves into a new space of creation, a new consciousness. Here we go. So if I bring them all together just before I talk about Earth, we could talk about them in how I make a cake. This is my best analogy. So to make the cake, we first of all have to have a bowl, something we're going to make that cake in. And we also have to have a tin, because the tin or the is the mold in which we're going to have that cake. It would define how that will shape. Okay, so what is earth? Earth is the bowl, and it is also the tin. And in some ways, it's also the recipe, because the recipe is the design, how I want this to appear. So we have an idea. In other words, we have this sort of belief, we have this intention, it's a structure. And then we get out our bowl, and in that bowl, we're going to put all the ingredients. So without that bowl, the ingredients just flow all over the place. That's no use. So having that structure, having a plan, having a sense of how do we want this to turn out? What is my cake going to look like? Is it going to be cupcakes, or is it going to be a sponge, or is it going to look like a fruitcake? Different shapes will define us. So there is a need to have a structure. And that's why I'm saying at this time, those structures have been thrown out the window. It's like nobody knows the plan. And that's why all this anxiety and depression is around. So let's have a plan. We're going to make a cake. And into that bowl, we put all the ingredients. But just putting those ingredients together doesn't actually make the cake, does it? So what do we do then? We often then start mixing. And we start often by dissolving, let's say, the butter and the sugar together. Now, that dissolving process is water. It's how do we make two separate elements come together to create one new element, all right? Sugar and butter coming together. And we may at some point add water, we may add milk, we may add eggs. And what do? They bind, they dissolve, they bring together. So they're all the element of water. Anything that flows, anything that dissolves, anything that actually allows a new product to be created. And then we might mix. And what are we doing in the mixing? We're aerating. And the aerating is about what allows us to move the spirit or the energy of one thing and to merge with another, but not just to dissolve, but to actually inspire. So that aerating of our ingredients allows something magnificent to appear, something that's not just dissolved, but something that lifts itself out of the original. So this is inspiration. It's a new form that comes out of this. And without the air, nothing new grows, nothing new develops. And then finally, when we have our mix, we put it, as I say, in a tin, something, a cooking utensil, a cooking bowl that we're wanting to put in the oven. And when we put that in the oven, what do? We add heat to it. So that's the fire. And the fire, what that does, it's a catalyst. It actually changes each of those ingredients into something completely new. So without that fire, we do not, and without that heat, that creation doesn't happen. That new form doesn't appear. And we would all say, if you ever baked a cake, you look from the basic mixture and it becomes this beautiful brown experience that tastes very different from the mixture. You can taste the air, you can taste all the ingredients, you can taste the mixing. So this is how air, earth, air, fire, water work when we're making a cake. And I hope that helps you. So if we come down to earth again, earth is structure. Where is our structure? Well, our structure in our body are our bones. Without our bones, we would just be a bag of water and skin. So our structure is essential to us. It's our bones, our hair, our nails, and to some extent, the skin itself. It does provide a structure. And within those bones, we have bone marrow. And that marrow, especially the red marrow, makes our red blood cells, our white blood cells, our platelets. It's the source of our stem cells. So once again, earth is not just something that's boring, doesn't grow. It's alive. It grows. It produces. And yes, as we get older, we produce or need to produce less red blood cells. But it still is the source. So once again, coming back to saying, earth is the source. It's the structure. It's the intention. It's the, what is my thought here? What is it I'm wanting to create? And to be able to really earth ourselves isn't ideas up here, my friends. You might think it is. But as I was describing last time, what does a seed first do? It sends roots into the ground. What is in that ground is, as I have described before, the grid of energy, the blueprint. Everything that ever will be created on this earth exists in a blueprint or energetic form beneath our feet. There is nothing new. Everything has already been imprinted into this earth. In other words, unless we know it's in that blueprint, it cannot be created here. Now, you might say, well, does that mean COVID and maybe whatever happened to the virus, the manipulation to it? Was that already present? Yes. There is nothing. Nothing can grow on this earth unless its energetic blueprint is already present within the grid of Mother Earth. And therefore, we go moving away from COVID. If I want to create something new, I have to spend time rooting into Mother Earth. And to do that, I have to become empty first. Because if I root into Mother Earth, always containing the old ideas, guess what will happen? I will only bring to the surface, I will only bloom with what I've already created. So when I hear people saying I'm rooting into Mother Earth, I'm grounding myself, this isn't just a space of, oh, here we are, I'm looking for what I want and I'm going to pull it up through my body and now I'm going to become it. That's boring. That's just creating the same plants in your garden over and over again. As we root into Mother Earth in a way that first of all we say, I empty my mind, I empty my beliefs, I empty my wants, I empty my thoughts before I send my roots into what I call the collective unconscious, the potential that lives beneath our feet, the fullness of what I can become. And so that dissolving process, as I will speak about, comes into water. What do I need to dissolve? How do I need to clear my thoughts so that I can connect to something that's larger than me, connect to this blueprint? All right. So I wanted to say that because when we're trying to create structure, it may be very, very common for us to grab onto what we already know. Where's that thing I already know? Let me create it again. But the year that we are going through, or the year we've been going through, is saying, no, don't create the same. Create something different. And to create something different means emptying your mind and your beliefs of what you thought you were here to do in this world, or emptying your thoughts of who you thought you were going to do it with. And I see that in this last year, we have all been readjusting, rewiring, remembering, resetting, reawakening what we thought we came here to do. I've created new courses I never thought I would create. I'm so involved with Mother Nature now. I have maybe disconnected from friends who I realize our time had finished. I've reconnected to friends who I realize I want to spend more time with. So ask yourself, what new structure have you created in your life? What does your baking tin look like? What does your bowl look like? Has it changed? Has it got larger? Has it got smaller? Is the tin, the way in which you want your life to go, different than it was a year ago? You understand? Because only when we allow ourselves to dissolve the old way, the old thoughts, you know, stop baking with the same size tin all the time, only when we say, hey, I'm going to have a new tin, can we then root into a new part of the blueprint that's beneath our feet and draw up energy that is completely new and exciting? So I know I've spoken about this before, but what have you let go of? How has your tin changed? How have your beliefs about yourself and other people changed? Not about what you see on the news, but how have you been changed by these circumstances? Again, I'm not suggesting someone has done this to you, but more, how have you opened yourself up to new consciousness? How have the circumstances of your daily life changed? How have you realized what you don't want to do anymore? What have you realized you love doing even more than you had known? Okay, that's Earth. And Earth, as I say, is our bones. It connects to the stone kingdom. It connects to the minerals. It connects to whether it's sand or a mountain. All of it is the stone kingdom. It holds the structure, the message. And that message is not dead. It's saying, I've been holding this structure for you until you're ready to walk your talk, until you're ready to step into it. That's that new life form that grows within our marrow, the stem cells. What are the stem cells? What's the blueprint that you came into this world and your bones have been saying, I'm waiting for you to do this. It's time. Okay. All right. That's the stone kingdom. That's the earth. Then I could look at fire. Fire is about transformation. And before be able to transform, we need to understand, and maybe I want to speak about air before I get to fire. Air is the energy of movement, to be inspired, to pick up on new ideas. And so you may say, well, that's coming from my head, isn't it? No, it's actually the energy that stirs you up, like stirring up that cake. So where have you been aerated this last year? Where have you had new ideas? And I know that many of us are spending so much time maybe watching Zoom, watching YouTube, watching something. Where's your mind being changed? And air is all about germination. So it's like the butterfly or the bee that goes from one plant to another. Why does it do that? Because it carries the pollen of one plant to germinate with another plant's pollen. So to germinate means to mix ideas, to listen to other people's ideas, to not just have communication, someone talking to you, but to have the exchange of ideas. So where in your life have you been, have you picked up some new pollen? Where have you been fertilized, germinated, that you're now, oh, I'm inspired by something different than I was before? And I want to remind us all that that germination of ideas is an exchange, not someone speaking to us and not allowing them to answer questions. When we stop that flow of exchange, we stop air. It's very interesting that COVID's been so connected to air, the ability to breathe. So where are we not being allowed to exchange ideas, exchange breath, exchange our oxygen? And that's where one person's point of view is paramount or being given all the attention over other people's points of view. That is not aeration. That is not communication. That is one person's view blocking everybody else, and no wonder people can't breathe. Because when we don't feel that we can exchange that energy, when we can't express ourselves through our throat chakra, we feel blocked. We feel we can't breathe. And this shows up in so many illnesses, such as asthma, where you take that breath in. And we often take a breath in when we're frightened, but we don't feel the safety to breathe out. If I breathe out, what if there's nothing there? What if that's I literally am expiring, I'm going to die. So that exchange of energy means that we feel good about breathing out, dying to our old ideas, breathing in new ideas from someone else or from our own inner self, our own higher self, our own inner being. So that exchange of energy, again, comes with that idea that first we have to breathe out, to empty our lungs. And that often is an issue with people with asthma, with chronic airways disease, that fear of letting go and then breathing in that freshness of life. So that exchange of energies that happens in the alveoli, so important. The exchange of energies that happens at the roots of trees through the mycelia, the exchange of gases, the exchange of minerals. When there is no exchange, and we feel that we cannot interact with people because of fear of what they say or what we might say, our lungs seize up, our air doesn't flow. We have to feel safe with other people's points of view. My point of view might be different from yours, but it shouldn't cause you to feel insecure. It should cause you to say, wow, thank you, Christine. I'll take those ideas and I'll mull them over and I'll spit them out if they're not appropriate. So why don't you feel safe to breathe, to express, to have an exchange? We need to open that up again. That's air. Then I will come to water. I know I'm going to put fire at the end. Water, the energy of dissolving. I've talked about that, how important it is to, again, empty ourselves, to dissolve our ideas, to feel free and able to dissolve ourselves, to feel enriched. Water is the element that is in our blood flow, our lymph system, but most importantly, it's also into intracellular fluid. 60% of fluid in our body, and we're made up of 70% water, are around our cells, in our cells, causing our cells to connect. And so little work has been done on how the cells communicate to each other through the water. And any of us who have studied the work that has been done to show how water carries information, you understand that crystals are actually crystallized water. Ice is crystallized water. So many wonderful studies being now done to show how ice will carry a picture, an intention, an idea. And of course, we've seen that in the wonderful work that's been shown that how a thought can be carried in water. But I want you to understand it's there between our cells. Our cells are communicating through water. And they don't communicate as in air, when I'm talking about the exchange of energy. They're literally merging themselves. So they're literally telepathic with each other. And that comes down to there's one cell, there's two, another cell, but there's an us cell, There's me, there's you, there's us. It's that us-ness that is so important to us. It actually is the place of enrichment. And when I spoke about touch a few podcasts back, touch is about only happens really when our cells are moist, our skin is moist. We need that moistness to feel the touch of someone else. We often say, my heart is touched. It's fluid. I feel it in my water. So our water, our flow, our heart flow, my heart flows into your heart, your heart flows into my heart. We're talking about flow of water, a connection, a union. And it's a dissolving, not to lose ourselves in someone else, but it's a dissolving where we say, I feel your emotions. It's what makes us so unique as humans, that emotional quality. And sometimes we get overwhelmed with someone else's emotions, and then we need to pull back a little bit on our water. And then other times we've got so dry, we need to connect again. We need to feel again. We need to love again. And love is the power of connection, the power of knowing that because I'm human, I can feel. That's that warm-bloodedness. Why do we talk about warm-blooded animals being actually those who love? Cold-blooded animals don't have that sort of connection that we have. So where have we lost that connection? We lose it because of fear again. We shut ourselves down. We lock ourselves in. We've been locked down. But we can care. We can care through our own water. We can care for ourselves by having that deep kindness and pleasure for ourselves. Where are we not kind to ourselves? Where have we forgotten that milk of human kindness just for us? And even if we don't connect without masks or we are somewhat in lockdown, who have you smiled at today? You don't need to smile just with your mouth. You can smile with your heart. Where have you connected to someone else and said, I'm feeling that kindness towards you, that smile? Water will carry that energy, and it doesn't have to be just a water where we are in the water. It's purely that engaging of our heart. The heart energy spreads out from us. You know, may know the electromagnetic field of the heart spreads out many feet. So just feeling warm, feeling kind to yourself will actually allow other people to be touched. And we are seeing the problems of the heart. Many times where we're in this illness, we're seeing people with too much water, so they're actually having bleeds. And others, they're having blocks, they're having clots, where that water isn't flowing. I think that's a metaphor for our lives. Where have we locked people down so they feel that they can't flow anymore? They don't have any movement. They can't connect to anyone. It's the worst thing. We know that heart disease occurs where there is social isolation. We know that heart disease occurs when we all feel we can connect, we can contribute. Contribution is part of this. It's like that drop of water trying to find the ocean. And then finally, we have fire. Now I come to my fire. Fire is about the enzymes, the catalyst, the nervous system, the way in which nerve endings connect to each other, the flow of a thought along a nerve. And that's the fire of transformation. So that fire is about burning something and it will never be the same again. It catalyzes, it changes that cake mixture into that beautiful cake. We don't necessarily understand how. I could tell you probably we could, but we don't need to know. It's like magic. And there's so much magic in our bodies. The magic of a few cells becoming a beautiful baby. That's magic. And I would like to see that fire within us all, that fire that lives, that passion. Where is your passion? For many people at this moment, their pilot light, the little fire that lights the whole fire, has gone out. Or it's very low. Because we're so fearful, it's like, I can't do anything. Yes, you can. When we make a choice, when we make a decision for ourselves, that we light that pilot light and it fires us up. When I ask people, what is your hobby? What do you enjoy doing? Oh, I don't know. Find something that lights your fire of creation. And creation isn't always about being an artist or a potter or whatever else you do. Creation is just doing something, having an idea, making that cake. That's the fire. And I could say that that's the fire that even gets you to start to make that kind of cake. Where's that passion? In other words, I may have all the recipes in the world, but the cake doesn't get made unless I have the passion to start it. So all the ideas in the world, all the cooking tins in the world isn't going to get me anywhere unless I put some fire into it. And the opposite of that is depression, dispiritedness, the inability to start something. And sometimes what we have to do is light a candle, meditate, start to dance, move the air, because air does stimulate fire and fire does stimulate air. So sometimes we have to move our air, as I'm describing, to get that fire burning brighter. And then finally, I want to say we have to be careful that fire and air don't get too caught up, because it's more common that we get fired up with ideas when that air and fire come together, and then we lose track of the earth and the water. So they all need to work together. Yes, because you can see that if I have too much, if I have water and fire, what happens? I get mist, I get confused. If I have water and earth, it can become muddy and I get stuck. So each of these needs to be in balance. And so I only would like to do a very brief meditation just for time's sake, but a meditation for you to be able to see your particular elements and know how they're going to work for you. If you are ready to complete this podcast, that's brilliant. But here's a small meditation for you. So if you would, just to close your eyes. As always, take a short breath in and a long out breath. Calm yourself, get into your body. And again, short breath in, long out breath. Settle into your body. And we're going to use the heart chakra as the energy that brings it all together. Take your awareness to your heart chakra. Through your heart chakra, we're going to see each of the elements in turn and be able to see what they are made of, how they appear to us. So we first of all look for the element of earth that exists in our mindset, in our imagination. What does your inner earth look like? Is it a grain of sand, a stone, a crystal, a mountain? Let the first thought be the right one. And as you see that element of earth, and you enter into it, you resonate with that element, does this feel strong, stable? Stuck, easily blown around if it was sand? How does that element of earth, does there feel movement in it, enough movement to be the source of new life? Or is it very solid and cannot change? How does that feel? And does that earth element feel rooted into Mother Earth? Does it feel that it can receive the blueprint, receive energy from the blueprint into it, into that bone marrow, into the center of it? Is it a living, breathing earth element? We let that go, we let that image go, that feeling. And we move now from our heart chakra to see the element of air. And as you see air, we don't always see the air itself, but its movement. Is your inner air today like a gentle breeze, a hurricane, tornado, or is the air stagnant? How does your air move today? Is there an exchange of energy with your air? Or is there too much air, too much thinking, too much going on that needs to quieten down? And now step out of your air. Return to your heart chakra. Let's see the element of water. What does your element of water look like today? Is it a droplet of water? Is it rain? Is it a puddle? Is it an ocean, a lake, river? What does that look like? How is the element of water flowing through you today? If the element of water is about connection, if you're a puddle, do you feel disconnected? Or if you're a river, is your river flowing or is it blocked? Or is your river running so fast or your ocean pounding onto the shore that it feels overwhelming? Where do you need to find balance? What is the perfect water for you? Now moving out of the water, moving into fire. From your heart chakra, see your own inner element of fire. A tiny candle, a fire in a hearth, a wildfire. Or volcano, what is your inner fire like? And if fire is transformational, does your fire bring that transformation or does it just destroy everything? There's nothing left. What do you feel comfortable with in your fire? Where can you change your element of your fire to bring you comfort? You can manage it. Going back to the idea, do you have a pilot light? Do you have passion, or is your passion so great that you can't control it? You get lost in it, fired up. Now we're stepping out of that element. And what I suggest you're looking at is how do these elements work together? What did I learn? Are some of my elements too much? Are some too little? What do I need to do? What type of fire, what type of air, what type of water, what type of earth do I need to feel that there's movement without becoming overwhelmed? And where in my daily life am I maybe spending too much time thinking and getting fired up and not enough time out in nature, in earth? Where do I need to spend more time around water or in water? Or where am I feeling that my water is just, I'm picking up on everybody else's emotions and I need to contain it. I need to contain my sensitivity, my empathy with others. I need to shut that down a little because I'm getting too lost. I hope that this has given you enough to think about, to understand how these elements can work together. And to learn how you can move them just by changing the visual imagery that you experienced and that you can bring this into your daily life so that your body functions better, your bones, your breathing, your blood flow, and your fire. Until next time, take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Heart Speak Podcast with Dr. Christine Page. Please check out all HeartSpeak episodes in the podcast archive section on www.heartspeak.com. www.christinepage.com. HeartSpeak is also available on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, and now playing on iHeartRadio. You can also watch the archive podcasts on YouTube. Connect with Christine on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook, including her newest Facebook group, The Great Mother Calling. Do share with family, friends, colleagues. Join us next time for another edition of HeartSpeak.